engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Good evening, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to endabortion.tv. I see your comments coming in already. I appreciate your expressions of support, your prayers, and feel free to leave me your prayer intentions. I'll have our whole team remember them here at Priests for Life. We remember them in our daily masses, which we bring you live at 10 a.m. Eastern Time every day. I'm going to start with a prayer from my book, Pro-Life Reflections for Every Day. Today, the quote comes from 2 Corinthians 1:4. He consoles us in all our afflictions and thereby enables us to console those in their tribulations. Reflection. Terry Schiavo's family now assists other families who face tragedies similar to their own and is calling for laws in various states to protect the disabled from being dehydrated to the point of death like Terry was. Rather than being absorbed in bitterness or despair, this family has accepted from the Lord their mission to be a voice for the voiceless. A life that matters is their personal account of what happened to Terry. Let us pray. As I battle the culture of death, O Lord, may I receive and share your consolation. Amen. I suspect many of you remember that Terry was dehydrated to death. I was very much involved in that case, was there in her room, one of the few that was permitted to see her face to face, and as she was dying, and it was not as her false prophet attorneys and lying, cheating, murderous husband were trying to say. It was not peaceful and dignified by no means. It was a tragedy of major proportions and a cause of deep shame on our country. And as Terry was dying, and I was with her right up until her last few minutes of life, there was a vase of flowers right near her head, inches away, and the vase of flowers was filled with water. And there she was dying from lack of water. And there were police officers standing around her bed to prohibit us from giving her even a drop of water. Children who wanted to go into that hospice to bring her a cup of water in obedience to the Lord's command, whoever gives a cup of water because he is a disciple will not lack his reward. Children were arrested outside that hospice for wanting to bring a cup of water to a woman being killed by court-ordered dehydration. This is infuriating, infuriating, and very, very wrong, and we have to make sure it doesn't happen again. If you want a copy of this book, go to prolifereflectionsforeveryday.com. Well, you know what I'm going to do tonight? First of all, I want to make some new announcements to you about our evening programming, because we are going to be launching a new phase of it next week, and we're going to have certain special programs each night. I want to tell you a little bit about the schedule, which you'll be able to find at endabortion.tv. So very exciting what we have planned for you, and I'll announce that towards the end of our broadcast this evening, but then you're going to want to spread the word and tune into these special series. In fact, we're going to let you sign up in such a way that you can commit to watch certain programs and get additional material about the things I talk about. If you want it, we'll send you a special email in regard to certain of these shows. I'll give you more information about that as we conclude tonight. But you know what I want to do tonight? I want to take this letter that I received from a priest, and I want to read it to you. Because every once in a while, not a whole lot, but every once in a while, we get a letter like this from some of the very same priests that many of you complain about and say, oh my goodness, I don't know what's the matter with my priest. He doesn't talk about pro-life. He doesn't talk about these issues. He seems to be a Democrat. He doesn't want anything said about politics. I can't get any support from him for the things that we want to do in the parish or to educate or mobilize voters. I don't know what's wrong. Well, you'll get a little insight into the mindset of some of these priests by seeing what this particular priest wrote to me. And what we're going to do here is answer some of the various things that he says. In doing so, I want to show you how to answer some of these very same arguments, which you will hear from some priests, from some religious brothers and sisters, and from some lay people. So, here we go. He had received, apparently, one of our appeal mailings, okay, which we send out, and we're very grateful for the generosity of those who respond to our donation letters. Thank you if you are among them. Here's what this priest says. Dear Father Frank Pavone, I read your letter dated June 19th, 2020, and I agree in everything you said when you talk to stand for the unborn and defend life. Be assured that I will continue to stand for life and preach against abortion. Well, Father, I'm sincerely grateful for that. And I assume that that is the case for all our brother priests. I mean, after all, we're ordained as priests of the Catholic Church. And, you know, what could that possibly mean if we're not against abortion? So thank you for that. And you are certainly fulfilling, together with us, your mission to build a culture of life, and you have our gratitude for that. But then this priest goes on to say, I don't agree about all the other things you say about the platform of the Republicans and Democrats. Okay. I don't agree with the other things you say about the platform of the Republicans and Democrats. The platform of the Republicans and Democrats is not something that has to be a matter of opinion or agreement or disagreement. It's just a matter of fact what it says. If you go to votinginfo.net, that's votinginfo.net, that's one of the pages that we have established that actually gives you a link to the platforms. Read them. And we have a comparison page there, a one-page document that many of you have that is not our words. It's the words of the platforms on various issues, starting with the right to life. The Republican platform, the official, now remember, the platform is the official statement of the party's philosophy, worldview, and policy preferences. And the Republican platform says that the unborn child has a right to life, which, that uses the language and has used it for many years, cannot be infringed. It's one of those unalienable rights that we have. It cannot be infringed. Government doesn't have the authority, doesn't have the right to reduce or dilute or take away the right to life of the child. The child must be protected even by constitutional amendment, so that we take it above the fray of just the day-to-day back and forth of politics and elections. That's a pretty strong position. It reflects exactly what the church says about abortion, that the child has a right to life. You can't tamper with it. Look at the Democrat platform on abortion. Again, it's not my words. You see what it says. There are no limitations on the abortions that it supports as a woman's right of choice and of part of health care. As a matter of fact, the Democrat platform, this current one that was issued in 2016, is the most extreme on abortion that it ever was, and it even calls for the reversal of the Hyde Amendment, that provision in law which protects much of our taxpayer money from going for abortion. Not all of it. Again, there are many different funding streams of abortion, and they all get turned off in different ways. But the point is that Joe Biden upholds this idea now, flip-flopped on it because, you know, otherwise he wouldn't have been able to get the nomination. He's against the Hyde Amendment, too. In other words, not only does the Democrat platform allow for unlimited, unrestricted abortion throughout pregnancy, but even wants us to pay for it. Now, he says, I don't agree with the other things you say about the platform of the Republicans, Democrats. What things? It doesn't say specifically here, but I mean, it's like, you know, it's not me that you're agreeing or disagreeing with. It's the platforms. Read them. And that's what I want to encourage all of you to do. Read the platforms and then see what the candidates are actually saying and what they're not saying. Listen, go back and listen to the Democrat debates when you had all those candidates competing for the nomination. Did any of them express the slightest desire, the slightest willingness to restrict abortion under any circumstances? Did any of them speak up for a single unborn baby to be saved from dismemberment? No. The only time the slightest limitation on unbridled abortion was expressed was from Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, who said that maybe in the very latest months of pregnancy, you know, it's not such a good idea to abort a baby. The exception proves the rule. These people are for unrestricted abortion and at taxpayer expense. So don't say you disagree with me about the platforms. Read the platforms and listen to the candidates. Or my friend Kristen Day heads up Democrats for Life. Now, I've been trying to help her for years and years and years. We've been knowing each other for a long time. And I have helped Democrats for Life in many different ways over the years. You can ask them. And Kristen was able to voice a question at a Fox News town hall with Mayor Pete Buttigieg when he was still in the race for the Democrat nomination for president. And she was able to ask a very key question that a lot of pro-life Democrats, citizens, that is, across the country, are asking. And that is there room in the Democrat Party for pro-life Democrats? Is there room in the party? He couldn't say that there was. She even asked him if he'd be in favor of language in the platform that says, look, the official position of our party is pro-choice, but, you know, we recognize that people disagree, and so we welcome people in the party of different positions. Wouldn't agree to that either. What's going on here? Tom Perez, chairman of the party, is known for this quote: every Democrat, like every American, should support a woman's right to make her own choices about her body and her health. Every candidate who runs as a Democrat should share the Democrat Party's position on women's fundamental rights. Oh, how they like to clothe this in pretty language. Women's fundamental rights to dismember, decapitate, and crush their children. And this priest is saying he disagrees what I'm saying about the platform of the Democrats and the Republicans. I follow different TV channels, but I did not hear the politicians speak pro or against the abortion the way you present in your letter. Well, that's because my letter is picking up the slack that you're not going to see on the mainstream media, fake news outlets. Just go to the source. You don't have to rely on what channels you're watching, but go to the source. Use the internet. Find out what these people are saying. Not all Republicans are against the abortion, and not all the Democrats are in favor of the abortion. Well, you don't have to tell me that, but at the same time, the exception proves the rule. Let's talk about this a little bit. When I started out doing this work with Priests for Life, there used to be dozens of pro-life Democrat members of Congress in the House of Representatives. Dozens. In fact, I stood with them in front of the Democratic National Committee headquarters, again with my friends from Democrats for Life, Kristen Day and others, and I stood with them, this is decades ago, in favor of legislation that would assist pregnant mothers to choose life, and that would make it more easy for them to do so and reduce the temptation to have an abortion. There were very good reforms being proposed, and I wanted to express a support for that. I, by the way, am not registered in the Democrat Party. I am not registered in the Republican Party. I am not a member of a political party myself, personally. Not that there's anything wrong with doing that. I encourage people to do that, but I myself am not. I work on pro-life, and I try to work with everybody who's pro-life. So we worked with these people. Now, That was decades ago. There were dozens of pro-life members of the House. So, Father, where have they all gone? You tell me, where are they? In the House of Representatives now, and I know him very well, he's a friend, Congressman Dan Lipinski from Illinois, consistently pro-life. He's a Catholic, abhors abortion, has voted for pro-life in all the votes that he has cast. Guess what? You can count them on one hand. There's Dan Lipinski, get back to him in a second, Congressman Cuellar from Texas and Congressman Peterson from Minnesota. That's it. The way these members of Congress vote is public information. You can look at every vote that every member of Congress has cast on all the bills that are presented to them, and you can go back to all the Congresses of the past and find this information. Where can you find it? Well, we've set up a special website that has some links to the various places where you can find this information, because the Congress itself has a website where it keeps track of the votes. Go to votinginfo.org. Now, at votinginfo.org, and I hope this priest goes and reads this, take a look at how the Republicans and the Democrats vote on the matter of abortion. There are many different bills that are related in one way or another to abortion. Take a look at how they vote. And you'll see maybe one, sometimes none, maybe one, two, three. On one hand, and usually on half of one hand, you can count the number of Democrats that vote pro-life. Don't say you don't agree with me. Don't try to tell me, oh, well, there's not all the Democrats are pro-abortion. Not all the Democrats are pro-abortion. What are you talking about? Three? Dan Lipinski always votes pro-life, Cuellar and Peterson sometimes. What are you talking to me about? Oh, well, not all the Republicans are pro-life. Yeah, I know very well. I've been in their offices. I've talked with their legislative staff. We had a briefing in the Senate, Preach for Life did, on late-term abortion, and we had staff members coming in to listen to us play the telephone calls that we obtained from the abortion facilities, where demonstrating that you can get an abortion of a healthy baby carried by a healthy mother in the 7th, 8th, and 9th month of pregnancy. And we played the recordings for them, and in that room was one of the staff people for Senator Lisa Murkowski, a Republican who unfortunately does not vote consistently in a pro-life way. So we know full well. But then again, the exception proves the rule. Tell me how many votes you're going to see when you examine the voting records, the public information from the Congress as to how many Republicans voted pro-abortion in these various votes and how many Democrats voted pro-life. You only need one hand to count them. So, what are you talking about? Dan Lipinski, practically the lone ranger there and among pro-life Democrats in the House, he lost his primary. Just this spring, he lost his primary because he didn't have the support of the Tom Perez, every Democrat should be in favor of a woman's right to make her own choices. The Tom Perez Democrat extremist party failing to help Dan Lipinski win his primary. So don't tell me about this, oh, well, not every Democrat is for abortion, not every Republican is for life. For all practical purposes, yes, they are. Again, half a hand will give you the exceptions. There is right now, there has been for this entire Congress in the House of Representatives, a petition that the members of Congress can sign if they want. It's called a discharge petition. It's a way for the party that is not in the majority, which right now in the House of Representatives is the pro-life Republican Party, to get a bill to have a vote, even when the majority party right now in the House of Representatives, the pro-abortion Democrat Party, even when they don't want that bill to have a vote. So the discharge petition needs a majority of the House. So if the minority party is introducing it, obviously getting a majority requires some crossover votes, right? So you've got to have some of the Democrats sign on to this petition. Okay, so let's explain to you what this is about. I've talked about it many times here on this program. The legislation that they're introducing would protect a baby who is born alive after a failed attempt at abortion. Born alive, outside the womb, lying on the table, gasping for air. The law does not adequately protect these babies. And yes, these situations do happen. It's a matter of public record. We don't have to go into all that right now. The evidence is there. Go to bornalive.us. It's another of the many websites we've set up, and you can find a lot of the details there. So this discharge petition, the Republicans in the House of Representatives set this up. And again, to this priest's point, and you'll hear it too, you know, people will say it to you as an excuse to vote Democrat or an excuse not to make abortion the key issue, which it is. They'll say, like this priest said to me, well, not all the Republicans are against the abortion and not all the Democrats are in favor of the abortion. I don't see any numbers here or any percentages. This discharge petition, every single Republican in the House signed it. Every single one of them. In fact, since it was introduced, there were a number of special elections in various parts of the country that Republicans won. The first thing they did after they got sworn in was to sign this discharge petition. Because if a politician can't respect the life of a little baby, how on earth is he going to respect yours? First thing they did was to sign this discharge petition. It should be such a no-brainer that a baby alive outside the womb should be protected. So there's 235 or so Democrats in the House. 235, approximately, Democrats in the House. You know how many of them signed the discharge petition? Father, who's telling me that not all the Democrats are in favor of abortion, you know how many signed this petition? To just get a vote on a bill that would protect the babies who survived abortion. You know how many Democrats signed this discharge petition? Three. Not 30. One, two, three. This is an absolute disgrace. Don't talk to me about the Democrat Party. Oh, well, they're not all for abortion. Don't talk to me about that. This is an absolute disgrace. Three? Out of the entire House of Representatives, only three Democrats can sign on to an effort to protect babies born alive? Are you kidding me? I want to ask any of you out there who plan to vote for a Democrat in the House of Representatives this election, what on earth are you thinking? My God, it's just, there's no words for this. There's really no words for this. Okay, so let's see what else this priest has to say. When we preach, we have to put in evidence the will of God for all of us. And the first will of God is that we love as He loves. If all believers will try to put in practice the commandment of love, then the great majority of Americans, either they are Republican or Democrats, will defend life. Well, they'll do everything else right also. I mean, this doesn't mean that you don't work for change in the political arena on different issues. I mean, you could say the same about anything. Fighting crime, fighting terrorism, getting better health care, getting better rights for workers, getting a better education system. The more people are transformed by the gospel, the more they will judge correctly on all these issues, right? I mean, the more the right things that they're, but that doesn't mean there isn't a need for laws. That doesn't mean you don't get involved in the political process. In fact, the church makes it very clear in the Catechism, in the documents of the Second Vatican Council, in the Social Compendium of the Doctrine of the Catholic Church, in the various encyclicals of the various popes. Take Evangelium Vitae, for one, from St. John Paul II, but all the different documents. So look at all the documents of the Bishop's Conference and state Catholic conferences. The church is constantly calling us to get very specifically involved in legislative and political battles, very specifically, on concrete issues. Why? So that we can change public policy. The bishops have a specific pastoral plan for pro-life activities, and an entire section of that plan is dedicated to changing public policy. They don't take the position. Second Vatican Council doesn't take the position. Scripture itself doesn't take the position that, oh, well, let's just teach people to love one another and then everything else will be okay. It's not that simple. We've got to show and teach people specifically what being okay means. We've got to be very specific with them. And we've got to advocate for very specific change on very specific issues. Let me save the best for last here. Listen to this line from this priest's letter. I believe that we priests should not get involved in politics. I will support Priests for Life when you will be out of politics. I don't believe that priests, he says, should get involved in politics. What in the world is that supposed to mean? The church teaches we are to be involved in politics. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but give to God what is God's. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. We have to be good citizens. We have the right, the duty to vote. Catechism says that. We have to vote. We elect our leaders. We have to lobby our leaders. We have to communicate with our leaders. But is voting so we were supposed to? What are we supposed to say to people? Shoot a dart in the dark, you know, roll the dice? Flip a coin? You mean to tell me that voting is not a moral choice? Every human choice involves morality. That's why it's a choice. It involves right or wrong. And you mean to tell me that we as priests are not supposed to give them any moral guidance about how to vote? We actually do give them the moral guidance on how to vote if we're teaching what the church teaches. The United States bishops, for example, issued a very clear document. Well, they issue a major document every 4 years on voting, but the most comprehensive and strong statement about pro-life voting that the bishops have issued is a document called Living the Gospel of Life. Go to gospeloflife.net. You'll see the document. You'll see a study guide that we wrote about the document. And it gives very clear guidance about voting, and it says we have to use our vote to advance the culture of life, and that the fundamental right to life is being attacked by abortion that strikes at the house's foundation. If you think about all the different issues as a house and all the different parts of the house, it's all going to collapse if you don't have the foundation. And that's why they identified abortion as such a key issue, because it strikes at the foundation. You take away a person's life by abortion, haven't you taken away their health care, their education, their right to work, their right to travel and immigrate, their right to be protected from terrorism? You take away their life, you take away everything. That's why it's fundamental. Not because it's the only issue, but because it's the foundational issue. You get that wrong, how can you get anything else right? Are we telling people how to vote? You know, the Second Vatican Council said we are to pass moral judgment even in matters relating to politics. The Catechism lifts that quote from Gaudium et Spes 76 and puts it right there in the Catechism. Canon law makes a reference to the same thing, even for priests. Yes, Boris, you know, what in the world are you talking about? You know, we got this priest and then we got Boris coming on.
A Catholic priest talking about moral guidance. Are you kidding me? Yeah, Boris, I'm kidding you. Yeah, this is a clown show, is what it is. I forgot my costume, although some people call this a costume. Boris, what are you talking about? A Catholic priest talking about moral guidance. Are you kidding? What do you think about killing babies, Boris? Come on, give me some moral guidance of your own. First of all, you don't know me. You think I've done some of the immoral activities that your mind is just, oh, it must be so filled with all the negativity about what some priests have done? I can think of some negative things that some Borises have done. But I'm not going to attribute them to you. What in the world is the matter with you? You see, these are some of the cheap comments that people feel like they can fling at pro-life people, Catholic people, priests, anybody that dresses like I do. Come on, what do you think of the dismemberment of a baby? Well, let's talk about moral guidance. Is that really so difficult for people to understand that it's not okay to rip the arms and legs off of a living child in the womb? That's what abortion does. You don't have to listen to me, Boris, if the collar so torments you that you got to say these stupid comments. If it so torments you that you have to be so negative and critical, then go pick up the textbook called Abortion Practice by Warren Hearn. It's a medical textbook on abortion, and read how the procedure is done. Or go to lookatabortion.org if you're finished looking up all the negative, terrible things that priests have done. Go look at abortion.org and go ahead there and see what an abortion is, and then talk to me about moral guidance. This, friends, goes exactly for to this point of what this priest is saying to me. Because if we can't give the very clear guidance on a matter so fundamental as these four words, you don't kill babies, well then, that's the scandal. Not some kind of other thing. Oh my goodness, you know what terrible scandals there are. Of course there are scandals. You know what the biggest one is? The biggest one is silence in the face of baby killing. Yep. Silence in the face of baby killing, and people pretending that they can't give any response, guidance, or objection to this. You know, actually, and I know, I understand what some of you are saying, you know, don't get distracted by these trolls, you know, but sometimes the trolls actually are making a key point to kind of affirm everything that I'm saying here, and this is the case with this one. The key point being that you can't object like this priest is doing to priests becoming, quote, political. You can't object to that. When one of the political parties is firmly and squarely in favor of murdering babies, I mean, that was not usually the case. That has not usually been the case in our nation's history. And I agree that the church has a religious mission, not a political mission. This is the part of the teaching of the church. Again, it's in the Vatican Council, it's in the Catechism, it's in the document, the social compendium of the social doctrine of the church. We know the church doesn't, the church is not here to set up political parties, nor must the church be uniquely identified with a political party. But, what happens when a political party sets itself against the church and against the fundamental rights of human beings? What happens when a political party stands for murder? Is the church supposed to pretend to be neutral? Is a priest supposed to pretend to be neutral? No thanks, I'm having no part of that. Oh, well, you know, here we got a political party here, abortion on demand without apology. No limitations, no exemptions, no protections whatsoever for these babies, and by the way, you have to pay for it. And we're supposed to be neutral about that? No, you can't be neutral about that. So is that being political? You tell me. What about if the party is against the freedom of the church? You know what Biden said just the other day when the Supreme Court upheld the rights of the Trump administration to protect us from mandates like Obama had imposed, for trying to force us employers to provide health insurance coverage for abortion. And we said no. And his administration said, well, you're going to have to undergo fines every day that you refuse to do this. And we said, well, bring it on. But of course, we went into court. We were protected from the fines. And ultimately, President Trump was the one that protected us from the mandate. So the court again had to rule on this the other day. We went all the way up to the Supreme Court 4 years ago with this. And the court said, of course you can allow people to live your faith. I mean, why are we even arguing this? Our founders came to this country to live out their religious freedom. Of course you have to protect. The government has to protect people of faith to live out their faith. So there was this mandate, there was this requirement under the Democrat administration, the Obama administration, there was this requirement not churches themselves, that was the exemption, but ministries like the Little Sisters of the Poor, Priests for Life, Catholic University of America, Thomas Aquinas College, EWTN, Legatus, various dioceses and archdioceses, together with our case in court was the Archdiocese of Washington, Diocese of Erie, Pennsylvania, Diocese of Pittsburgh, all of these, and various Christian universities of various other denominations, fighting simply for our right to live out our faith, not just in church on Sunday, but in the business world on Monday. And as Carolyn is saying, the framers of the Constitution and its signers and of the Declaration of Independence had a great deal of faith, and they talked about it openly. So our country was founded on faith and on the free expression and living of the faith. And Joe Biden comes along, and you know what he said? If I get into the White House, I'll put the mandate back. Listen to this, friends. Tell others about this. And as far as this priest who wrote to me, and he knows who he is, did you hear Biden's quote? I'm going to bring the mandate back. I'm going to tell these nuns that they have to be involved in the provision of contraception and abortion. And tell these priests, tell this Catholic university, tell these dioceses. Yeah, we can be neutral, right? Tell me another fantasy. We can be neutral, of course. Yeah, doesn't matter. They're gonna fine us. Biden wants to fine us for living our faith. It's exactly what he's saying. I don't know how many of you live in rural areas and are Catholic. I heard just this afternoon the Biden campaign has set up this super PAC, Rural Catholics for Biden. What a joke. Rural Catholics for Biden? So let's process this a little bit in our mind. Rural Catholics for a would-be president who would stop Catholics from living their faith in the public square. Rural Catholics for a president that wants us to pay for baby killing. I mean, like Patricia is saying, come on, what in the world is going on here? How can people be so deceived? The emperor has no clothes, friends. The emperor has no clothes. And that's my parting comment for this this priest. Enough. Enough of this constant drumbeat. Oh, we priests, oh, we priests can't be getting into politics. Enough. The emperor has no clothes. There's no room here for neutrality. We're not going to stand up against a man who wants to get into the Oval Office so that we don't have the freedom to live our faith, so that we would get fined. We at Priests for Life would get fined every day by the government. Because in our health insurance plan that we give our employees, we don't include coverage for abortion. Are you kidding me? So, friends, that's what we're dealing with. And so I thought that we would, I would share with you my response to that particular letter. Now, I want to give you an announcement about our programming. So many of you join us every day for these programs. And I come on every night at this time. We do our mass in the morning. We come on at other times during the day as well. We have other programs. Alveda King is part of our team, and she comes on these programs as well. But starting next week, what we're going to do is we're going to have a series of special programs that come on certain nights. And let me read you what that is going to entail. On Mondays and Wednesdays, we are going to have our pro-life MAGA class, our pro-life elections 2020 class. They're going to be classes, and they're going to be substantial lessons in various aspects of voting. And yes, Diana, it's 8 o'clock Central. That's right, 9 o'clock Eastern. And those will be Mondays and Wednesdays. Now, for those programs, I want to invite you to actually sign up as if it's a course that you're signing up for, okay? And you can email us at vote@priestsforlife.org, vote@priestsforlife.org, and say, I want to enroll, I want to be in the inner circle, if you will. I want to be in the supplementary group for these, what we call pro-life MAGA classes, these election classes. And what we'll do is those that want to sign up specially for that will send you additional information relating to the program and to things that you can do to make a difference in the election. So those are our Monday and Wednesday night slots. And again, it's vote@priestsforlife.org. Let us know that you're particularly interested in those. You'll all be able to see the programs, just like you're watching now and on all the platforms that you're watching now. But again, those that sign up in that way will get a supplementary information that we will send you. Then on Tuesday nights and on Friday nights, and all this schedule, by the way, will be at endabortion.tv. On Tuesday nights and Friday nights, we're going to call it Pro-Life Prime Time. And the Pro-Life Prime Time is going to include three things. Teachings on the whole abortion topic in the pro-life movement, a toolkit talking about specific pro-life projects and activities that you can do. In other words, what can you do to help going to the advancing the protection of the unborn, and news, pro-life news and commentary on the news. So those will be Tuesdays and Fridays. On Thursday nights, pro-life in the scriptures. Now, you've been hearing a lot from me if you watch my masses on, getting the pro-life meaning from the scriptures. But on Thursday nights, we're going to have a program called The Light, Pro-Life and Scripture. And we've done some of these episodes already, but now we're going to fix it on Thursday nights. And if you're particularly interested in pro-life scripture study, then, and you know others who are, invite them to tune in on Thursday nights. Saturdays, we're going to do a Saturday Night Live, and Saturday Night Live with Father Frank, and we're going to talk about a variety of issues. I'll share with you more about my own personal history. I did a few interviews about that recently, and a lot of you liked that. My own personal life, my journey into the pro-life movement, into the priesthood, and also some special programs devoted to prayer. We'll have some prayer programs. And then finally, on Sunday nights, an Ask Me Anything session. You'll determine the topic. And we'll talk about questions that are on your mind and topics or commentary that you want to give. I can see the comments right in front of me right now. And we'll be letting you set the agenda for those Sunday night shows. Now, you know, because of this pandemic, a lot of the events that I travel to speak at, you know, have been either canceled or turned into virtual events. Obviously, when my travel schedule picks up again, we'll have to be doing some of these things from the road. We're always going to have to be flexible with the schedule, but we figure we'll have a basic framework in place, and then there'll be exceptions and variations. But I hope you're excited about this. We certainly are. We're preparing special sets and special intros that go along with these different themes, and we're also upgrading our broadcasting equipment over these coming weeks, and it's going to be really, really good. So thank you, friends, for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thanks for all that you do for the cause of life. And really, let's keep in touch. Let's keep in close contact. So now may the Lord bless each of you, protect you, answer your prayers, and make you strong defenders of the unborn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. We will talk to you in the morning.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.